Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and I hope that you're all well. It's great to be with you this morning, and I'm sure many of you are on holiday. Today I'm going to look at two things. I'm going to look at John, and I'm going to look at how he continues to call people to a repentance, to forgiveness of sins, to washing clean so that they prepare the way for Jesus. And I'm going to look at the third candle, which is a candle of joy. So let's start with joy and a reading from Isaiah, Isaiah 12, 2-6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, says the prophet. I think this is just a reminder of a theme that's run through the readings for a while now, that our trust needs to be in God, and if our trust is in God, then we don't need to worry, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and God is the one constant. We can rely on God, and therefore we can trust and not be afraid. Isaiah goes on to say, the Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. For you and I, Jesus is our salvation, but also our protection. And I do hope that each day you pray protection over yourself and over your families. With joy, says Isaiah, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Here is the joy coming in. God wants us to experience joy. We aren't supposed to go around miserable. We're supposed to have joy, and we can because of Jesus. We're told, if God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not withhold his only son, Jesus. You and I have so much. We are the children of the Most High God. We can go around filled with joy. And that is one way to draw people into relationship with God. They're not going to come into a relationship with God if we walk around miserable. In that day, says Isaiah, you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he's done. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. What I love about these verses is that they again point us to the need to praise God and give thanks. Shout aloud, sing for joy. We, as the children of the Most High God, must never forget that we too are called to sing for joy, to shout it out aloud, and to give thanks. Give thanks and praise God no matter what, not just on good days, but on all days. As we prepare for Christmas, and I have to confess I haven't bought a single present yet, there's a whole lot of busyness and things that need to happen. Let's not get so busy that we forget to give thanks to God for the amazing miracle of Jesus. Not only do we inherit eternal life, but we are set free, free to experience abundant life. One of my favorite carols is Joy to the World, and we're going to be singing that just now, or you'll be listening to it, I hope singing along. And if you're busy racing around, maybe just sing that to yourself. It will remind you of the joy of the season, as well as the need to sing with joy and give praise to God. I'm quickly going to look at Philippians 4. We did look at it last week, but I think it's a beautiful reading, and there's more to it this week. So Philippians 4 from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Be filled with joy. Praise God. Rejoice because those who would have been lost have been found. Just a reminder for us. Be filled with joy. Rejoice. Give thanks. Let your gentleness be evident to all, says Paul. Be gentle in our approach. I think it's important for us to remember that our gentleness needs to be evident to all. We should be gentle in our approach to other people. Walk gently in life. Life is short. Walk gently with the people around you. The Lord is near, says Paul. And then what we heard last week, don't be anxious, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's just be filled with joy as we listen to Joy to the World on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Joy to the World on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it's great to be with you. We've just looked at how we need to be filled with joy, and it's one of the things of the season. Hope, love, joy, peace. Those are the four things that we need to be looking at. So we've looked at joy and praise and thanksgiving in both Isaiah and Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. I'm going to move now into John 3, beginning at the 14th verse. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. It's obviously a reference to the cross, and with hindsight, you and I know that. But those present at the time may not have understood what Jesus was saying. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this is probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, but have you paused and thought about it? Would you give up your son for people who are actually going to abuse him, for people who are not walking in relationship with you? I don't think I would give up my son, but that's how much God loves us, that God loved us, that he gave his one and only son, and he gave him up to us, and we killed him. But he did it out of love so that you and I could inherit eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The reassurance again of God's love is not about condemnation. If we believe in him, we're told, we won't be condemned. But if we don't believe, then we will be condemned already because we've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Now, I have to say this was one of my prayers, and I actually taught it to a headmistress, and I said to her, pray this prayer, ask God to bring everything into the light so it can be dealt with and you can see what's going on, what you're actually dealing with. And at one stage, she came to me about 6 months later and she said to me, I'm going to stop praying that prayer because I don't want to see anymore what I'm dealing with. But I think it's an important thing to remember that we can pray a prayer, asking God to bring things into the light so we can actually see what's going on. Sometimes we might judge a situation or a person and we don't really know what is going on, and so we make the wrong judgment. I often compare it to driving at night. So I drive quite an old car and the lights are not brilliant. So I can see what's in front of me. I can see perfectly well, but I can't see periphery, what's going on the peripheral vision. If I drive my husband's car, he's got fantastic lights, and in fact, they work automatically, so they get brighter and dimmer depending on what cars are in front of you, and it's got fantastic peripheral vision. But it's still not the same as it is if you drive in the day, where you can see perfectly. And I think as we journey with God, if we pray this prayer, God, bring things into the light within ourselves as well, things that need to change, we see more and more clearly as we journey with God. And it's like moving from an older car to a newer car to daylight, where we can see more clearly what it is and what needs to be changed and what needs to be brought into the light. If we look at it from a different perspective, when children do something wrong, they often go and hide. Why? Because they don't want to be brought into the light. We need to be confident that God is not trying to condemn us, but to heal us, and therefore bring everything into the light, because in that way we can be healed, forgiven, and washed clean, and also forgive others. Let's not forget that. So as we move into when a child is born, let us remember what that cost God to give us Jesus, and let us remember how much we loved, and therefore how important it is to bring everything into the light where God can deal with it and heal it. We're looking at Christmas almost being with us, school holidays in full swing. We've looked at joy this morning. We've looked at the need to always give thanks. We've looked at Jesus being the light of the world and how we need to bring everything into the light. And I now want to look at John the Baptist from Luke chapter 3. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. Anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors come to be baptized." "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you're required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your own pay." As I read that, I couldn't help thinking about some of our officials in this country who ask for Coke. Maybe we need to take a lesson out of this. We shouldn't be extorting money from other people. We need to be content with what we have. The people were waiting expectantly, we're told, and all were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. In last Sunday's Gospel reading, we looked at John the Baptist issuing a call to prepare the way for people, calling people to prepare the way for Jesus. And he proclaimed a baptism of repentance leading to forgiveness of sins. In today's reading, he's a little bit more harsh. He spells out what that repentance should look like when people's hearts and minds are changed. And that's what it's all about, being changed by God. Their actions will change too. Words are empty if they don't result in deeds. And I always look at raising children here. They don't just listen to us, they watch us. We can't expect them to behave differently if we're not behaving differently. And we're told that fruitless trees are going to be chopped down and thrown into the fire. And we need to remember that. We need to bear much fruit for God. John's words are definitely not gentle. They're not polite at all. Even though, of course, I said earlier that we need to be gentle from the Philippians reading. John challenges people to fruitful living, and it prompts a series of questions from repentant hearers. The first question comes from the crowd in general. What then shall we do? And he says, you need to be generous. If you have two shirts, give one away. Give away what you don't need. Share with other people. If you have food, give some away. We need to be generous in our giving and sharing. And at this time of year, it's important. The next two queries from the tax collectors and from the soldiers move beyond sharing to address behaviors that cause poverty. John tells the tax collectors and soldiers to stop abusing people in order to make more money. Don't take more than the minimum. Don't shake people down and ask for more. Be content with what we have. Though John's message may seem radical, and it probably did to his hearers, he's quick to remind them that he's actually the messenger. He's not the one. He's the messenger preparing the way for the one who's much stronger than him, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and in fire. So in conclusion, we've looked at joy, love, thanksgiving, John. We've looked at the call to repentance. We've looked at the need to live the good news, not just speak it. And so I hope that something of what I shared today has spoken to you. And I want to end with a prayer. So let us pray. God of hope and joy, you sent John the Baptist to announce the coming of your Son. Inspire all who serve in your church to prepare for his coming again by turning away from disobedience to your loving service. Fill us with expectant hope and joy that we may share your love in the world. To wrap up this morning, Mary's boy child and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I hope you have a wonderful week and God bless. Thanks for listening.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.